All right, tonight I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of Luke chapter 17, verse 15, the Gospel of Luke chapter 17, and we'll begin in verse 15.
Luke chapter 17, verse 15 reads this way. It says, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save the stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, for thy faith hath made thee whole." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening, once again thanking you for the privilege of assembling together as your people, and then, Lord, calling upon you for the filling and the guidance of your Holy Spirit to guide us, Lord, into your truths, that we might understand you in a greater way and that we might grow in your grace and truly, Lord, be the witnesses of your great grace to a lost and dying world. What a privilege, Lord, you've given to us. And I just ask your blessings, build Northwood for your honor and glory. Lord, draw us closer to you, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message tonight is simply, "With a Loud Voice, Glorified God." With a loud voice, glorified God. Isn't that a great testimony? I mean, he was excited about his God. It wasn't like, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. No, hey, listen, with a loud voice, he glorified the Lord. You know, that's the work of grace. That's the work of the Lord in the life of each and every believer that God wants to perform for us and through us. And so we thank the Lord for that. And so really, tonight we want to consider these three thoughts, and that's going to be, first of all, an understood communication. Secondly, one of them turned back. And the third thought is going to be the Lord's two questions with an expectation. The Lord's two questions, and he had an expectation. So back up with me, if you will, to verse 11. And notice this understood communication here. Verse 11, it says this, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee." And notice what happens here. He says in verse 12, "And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off." Now, they were supposed to do that because they were unclean. They did not want to communicate this disease to anybody else. They weren't supposed to. And so they were doing what their part was, and that was to keep their distance from people who were not contaminated. And notice what they do here in verse 13. "And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Boy, you couldn't expect a better show of reverence and respect for who the Lord is, right? They said, "Jesus, Master," and they asked for mercy, right? So they were properly addressing the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they were asking the Lord for mercy. Do you think they wanted a change in their situation? Yes, they did. And do you think that they even thought just a little bit that the Lord could remedy their great plight? I mean, my goodness, they were in a bad situation. They were lepers. I mean, their flesh was falling off of them. That's a horrible place to be. And so they approached the Lord by faith. Isn't that amazing? Contemplate this thought. God honors all those that will honor him. And in fact, the Lord says in another place, "So be it unto you according to your" what? "According to your faith." Isn't that something? "So be it unto you according to your faith." So they had at least enough faith to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. They had enough faith to call him Master. And they also had enough faith to call upon him for mercy. Amen? Isn't that good? And so here they are. They're in the right place at the right time before the Lord Jesus Christ. And so everything couldn't have been any better for them. And so they call out to the Lord and they ask for mercy. And what does the Lord do? Verse 14. "And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed." Now we have to stop there just for a moment. Put on the brakes. They were not cleansed when the Lord said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." They could have stopped there for a second and say, "What for? I still got leprosy, right?" But they didn't do that. They turned, they believed the Lord, they turned, and as they turned and went, they were cleansed. Wow, that's amazing. And so here they are. They turn. It came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. Now, remember this. Listen, the priests, all they could do was declare them clean. They could not heal them. The only thing the priests could do was to declare them clean. That's all they could do. Jesus is the only one that could heal them, right? And so as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them here in verse 15, and we find here one of them turned back. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. He had a thankful heart, didn't he? He, listen, more important than himself was in his heart the glory of God. He wanted to give the Lord the credit. The other nine went and said, listen, we just need to be out of this mess. We have been made whole. We need to be, listen, they have been isolated. No doubt they were not allowed to be around people. I think they were excited now to be declared clean so they can mingle with everybody else. Can you imagine if you were told you can't be around anybody that does not have leprosy, right? If they don't have leprosy. And so basically they were exiled in the public, right? They could not be around them. So maybe they were so excited about, finally, we get to intermingle again. Finally, I get to talk to somebody other than a leper. And so they were excited and they were heading back. But this one individual, he turns back and with a loud voice, he glorifies the Lord, glorified God in verse 15. Look at verse 16. And fell down on his face at his feet, at the Lord's feet. Isn't that amazing? I mean, listen, he is more than thankful, is he not? I wonder what we're going to be doing in heaven. You think maybe we ought to get a little bit of a head start and fall down at the Lord's feet here on this side of eternity and praise him for salvation? I mean, listen, praise him that we have been given physical life, and praise him to a greater extent that we've been given eternal life. And so he fell down. He's giving him thanks. And notice what it says here. And he was a Samaritan. He was an individual who was despised. In fact, listen, it was known that the Jews did not have any dealings with Samaritans. They were half Jew, half Gentile. But did the Lord say anything to him about being a Samaritan? Did he receive the worship from this man? He did. He did. God is not a respecter of any person. Did Jesus Christ die for the whole world? He did. He died to give the whole world salvation, all those that would believe and receive. All right. So here he is. The Bible says, and he was a Samaritan. Now, we see here that they understood the communication. The Lord understood and they understood, right? The Lord understood when they said, Master, have mercy on us. The Lord knew that they wanted to be healed of the leprosy. And when the Lord said, go show yourself to the priests, they understood what that meant also, to be declared clean. And that's why they went. So there's this unspoken language, and yet there's a complete understanding of what's going on here. And so the Lord is still working in that realm. And by the way, God deals with our heart and our minds the same way today. God wants us to understand what he's saying and what he's wanting from each and every one of our lives. And so here he is communicating with these 10 lepers, now specifically here this one. And notice what he says here. Here's the last thought. The Lord's two questions with an expectation. So verse 17 says this, and Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Well, that's not rocket science, is it? Were there not 10 cleansed? And obviously the answer is, yes, Lord, there were 10. In fact, that question needed no answer, but the Lord voiced that question so that the situation could be understood. And that is that, by the way, if the Lord is asking, were there not 10 cleansed, do you think he may have been expecting to see them as well? Do you think he was maybe implying, where are they? They should be here also. And so, notice, Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? But where, listen, they're missing in action. They are not, if Jesus is saying, where are the 9? You know what that means? They're not where they're supposed to be. they were supposed to be there with this other Samaritan, right? And here they are, they're missing in action. And so what's going on? The Lord is doing a couple of things here. He is certainly making big over this one that came back. And don't you think that one that came back said in his heart and in his mind, I am so glad I came back. I am so glad. Listen, God moved him to come back. God moved him to come back. The more pliable we are in the hands of God, the more yielded we are to the Lord, the more he can direct us. The more determined we are to walk with the Lord, the nearer he draws. So what happens is if we're not expecting God to draw near to us, we live a different lifestyle. All of a sudden, some things just really don't matter if I do them or if I don't do them. But if you know that everywhere you go, the Lord is right there with you, shouldn't we have a different walk and a different attitude and a different heart? If God sees everything in our lives, shouldn't we live to the honor and glory of the Lord? Don't we have, listen, how much of our life do we have to give thanks to God for? Not just some of it? You mean, in other words, Lord, you've got these hours here. I'll give you these hours, but the rest of the time is mine. And I'll catch up with you later. No, this fella here said, Lord, it's all yours. That's a good place to be. And you know what? Listen, if we ask the Lord to give us that kind of a heart, do you know he'll do that? Listen, as a saved child of God, Now, listen. Our nature is a fallen nature. We still deal with that, don't we? Now, I know some people have children that they were never selfish. That's not true, is it? Huh. They never did anything just for themselves. They never needed any kind of education on what was right and what was wrong. And that's not true, is it? So if our children, and we love them, and that's why we correct them. Now we have a fault that sometimes we can get a little short, a little put out, because it's a kind of a repeated thing, and maybe we lose patience with them. But you know, the Lord never loses his patience with us. Isn't that amazing? We have the perfect Father in heaven. And everything he is doing in our lives is for our good, get this, and his glory. Get that. Listen, everything God is wanting to work out in our lives is for our good and his glory. He allows things to enter into our lives that we will die to self. He allows those things. And by the way, listen, how do you tell if a person is alive or dead? They can be stimulated. They can be stimulated. A dead person can't be stimulated. You can poke and prod, nothing's going to happen. That's a good place for a believer to be, spiritually speaking, in the sense of this world, that we're dead to it. That we're not easily triggered by it, right? We're not easily aggravated by it. And we can also realize that the reason why the world does what it does is because they're spiritually dead. And by the way, let's look at Joseph and his brothers. Joseph told them, hey, listen, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. How in the world did Joseph ever get that? He died to self. God brought him through the process, and Joseph trusted in the Lord. By the way, God wants us to trust in him also. And he wants us not to, we need to stand for the Lord, but we don't have to defend ourselves. That's the problem, right? God wants us to be yielded to him and to trust him, and then he can lead us into his paths of righteousness for his honor and glory. But we have to trust the Lord. We have to say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. Will things be done that the world would say, even to you and I, that's just not right? Yes, yes. Could somebody have said to Joseph after what his brothers did, that's just not right? Could somebody have said to Joseph after he was sold into slavery by the Ishmaelites into Egypt, that's just not right? Could somebody have said to Joseph about Potiphar's wife, that's just not right? They could have said that, but he didn't say a word, did he? How about Daniel? He could have said, that's just not right. But he didn't do that. And Daniel was a man greatly beloved. Let's learn from people who are being led by the Lord. What did Jesus say if somebody slaps your cheek? What do? You turn the other cheek. Did Jesus do that? He could have just thought and made an ash heap out of everybody and been done with it all. But he didn't. And God says, I am glorified when you trust me. The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? God wants us to be completely yielded. And here's the thing. We don't know what God's going to bring into our lives, but can we trust him? Can we trust him? How will we know if we're trusting him? We don't have to defend ourselves. We don't have to respond. We don't have to do anything. We just know that God is working out how many things for our good? All things. Even if we don't like it? Especially if we don't like it. Especially if we don't like it. So notice this. Watch this. Again, Jesus, verse 17, answering, said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? And notice his comment here. There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. Now look at this blessing. We find here this revealing truth and an expectation. The Lord expected them to come back, but they didn't. You know, the Lord expects us to return thanks to him. Do you know that? Has God done anything for us to give him thanks for? Amen. He has. So how often can I give God thanks for what he's given? Every day, all the day. Is God worthy for me to block off some time just to meet with him? How often? Every day. Every day, there's some time I should be able to block off. This is my time with the Lord. Just to sit in his presence. Now, does that mean it's just those times that we have blocked off? Or can we talk to the Lord throughout the whole day? We should talk to the Lord throughout the whole day. We should praise the Lord the whole day. But the Lord is so important. And he says, call on me and I'll show you great and mighty things. Call on me because there are some things that don't come out but by prayer and fasting. There are some things that God wants us to specifically call on him for that he will work out on in our lives. Lord, I need you to deal with the biggest monster, if you will, that exists. And that's me. The biggest rebel in my life is me. And Lord, I want to be, how much, how submitted to the Lord should we be? 100%. So if we know ourselves, and we do, we need to, and Paul knew himself, and he did, and he besought the Lord how often that he might have the flesh crucified? All the time, every day. So notice, he says, there, verse 18, there are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. But watch this. Listen, look at this blessing. And he said unto him, not to the 9, but to him who came back, arise, go thy way, that thy faith hath made thee what? Do you know what? You and I ought to be whole in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be a complete believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be one who God is working in and working through and giving us an upright heart and a gentle spirit, approachable spirit, and to give us all the fruit of the Spirit that God wants to have manifested in the life of every believer, so that when we share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with somebody else, we are so full of the Holy Spirit that they're being convicted. Amen? That God's at work. Listen, does Northwood Baptist Church, all the Lord's churches, but does Northwood Baptist Church, because that's the part of the church, that's the church that we're a part of, does Northwood Baptist Church need revival?
Amen.
How will we get it? We got to ask him. Through the Lord, we have to ask him. And how serious, do you know the Lord knows when we're really serious? When we say revival, are we just saying just a series of meetings for 1 week? Or are we saying our lives changed and souls saved? So should we make that, how often should we pray about that? Every day, all the time. Every day, all the time. If we're not careful, we forget about that until, oh yeah, we need revival. Oh no, that's because it's not where it should be in our hearts. God, we need to see souls saved. Lord, give us Columbia. Give us Columbia, Missouri, that we would see souls brought to you and that they would walk away rejoicing in the salvation that you have given to them. And will you and I be blessed to watch that happen? How do we do that? We need to go to the Lord. That is the only way, that is the only recipe you have found that you will find in that in the Word of God, and that is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and bring this book. He's the doer of these things. Who builds the church? The Lord Jesus Christ. So Lord, and guess the vehicle that he wants to use? You and I. But if we're out of sorts, if we're a vessel not unto his honor, does God use a dirty vessel? Does God think the way that we think? So God says, this is what I want. I want you to be holy, for I'm holy. Can we make ourselves holy? Never in a million years. So why did God ask us to be holy? Because he'll do it for us. He is holy. And he will impart that and implant that into our lives if we're serious with the Lord and come back to him and say, Lord, I want you to do that. Does God want us to be a holy people, a peculiar and royal priesthood? That's not just a title. That's a deed. That's a work that comes from the Lord. And if we will come to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, dear God, I need you to do this in my life. Thank you, God, for my salvation. But I want to be a vessel that is found faithful to your honor and glory. Do you think that honors the Lord? So God says, call. Call unto me, and I will what? And I'll answer thee. And I'll show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. But we have to have at least a faith to say, Lord, do that in me. And how long shall we keep asking the Lord? Until we see it, amen? Until we see it. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening, thanking you once again, Lord, for the reminder of your great mercy and your great love to us, Lord, your people, and also reminded of the work that you want to do in and through us. Lord, we need you in a great and mighty way. Without you, we can do nothing. And Lord, we're asking you to give us a heart to call upon you, that you might perform the work that you have planned in eternity past to do that would honor and glorify your name in and through your people. Bless as we break off for prayer. Give us a heart to call upon you, Lord, that we might be found faithful and your name honored and glorified and souls saved. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.